And welcome to Two Girls, One Book podcast. It's been a while. In reality, I think we've only missed one, podcast. But we have had a couple of messages from people saying, where's the podcast gone?
That's nice.
half of the podcast went to America. And the other half has been busy like doing birthday bits for birthday month.
The whole of October.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've been busy with fun stuff. Consequently, I barely read anything in October. It was 2 weeks into my 3 week trip away and I was like, oh, I probably should read something. So I did manage to read a book whilst I was on holiday. But that's pretty slim pickings. And I've read a couple of bits, like, either side of it. Yeah. So we've got some stuff to talk about. Some things that we enjoyed, some things that we hated. so it should make for an interesting discussion.
Yeah, there's a few I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be good. Hopefully this podcast isn't an absolute mess because we just spent, like, half an hour trying to figure out how my blimmin' computer works. Everything had shut down for its summer holidays, obviously.
Yeah.
Or winter holidays. Don't even know where we are now. Autumn holidays. Anyhow.
What day is
we're
it?
We're going to talk about... I don't even. So we're going to talk about some books. We haven't done a... We didn't do a featured read in October. Sorry about that. We're just too busy. So...
but
we have read some of the same books, haven't we?
Yeah.
So yeah, we can have a bit of a discussion on those. So the first one actually both of us have read as well, haven't we? So we can chat about that a bit together.
Yeah.
Although it feels like a very long time ago that I read it.
That's what I was going to say. If we can remember what went on.
Oh yeah. So I've forgotten how to review books, Hannah. I feel all at sea. So let's see if things pick up as we go along.
Okay. Well, let's just dive straight into it then. So the first one we are going to talk about today is The Skeleton Key by Erin Kelly, which is one that was gifted to us by the publishers whose name eludes me. I have got the little piece of paper somewhere.
Hodder and Stoughton.
Yeah,
I don't know
that one.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah,
maybe
Stoughton. Well, this one came out on the 1st of September, so it is a nice fresh book, and we've got proof copies, but I've seen the actual copies in Waterstones, and they're very pretty. I almost picked up one, but that felt a bit excessive.
I mean, our proof copies are also very pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I read maybe last year or the back end of 2020, maybe? No, must have been last year, 2021. Watch Her Fall, which was by Erin Kelly, which was the kind of ballet thriller. So I was already really excited when we got sent this book. It's a thriller again, totally different world to Watch Her Fall. There's not really any kind of parallels within the themes necessarily, but the writing style is obviously the same because it's the same author. You know, when you just think, is it like a fluke? Just the one book that you've read and that was great, but the second one's going to be weird.
Yeah,
happy to report it's not. This one I also really, really enjoyed. So it's a thriller, so we can't really say super amounts of it about it, but it's basically, there is, in the 1970s, there's kind of a treasure hunt book released, which becomes this big phenomenon. It's like a real-life treasure hunt. People in the real world going out looking for pieces of this fictional treasure. And they find all but one piece of the treasure, which the author then decides to just kind of keep hold of. And we won't tell anybody about it. And then 30 years later, we come to, oh, more than that, nearly 50 years later, isn't it? 2021. They're going to do a reissue and they revive the treasure hunt in the 21st century with apps and technology, and there's going to be this huge big launch, and then something goes wrong.
Yes.
We then kind of join the hunt behind the scenes for the person who has kind of scuppered the whole plan.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just sort of listening to you. Like, yeah, it all rings a bell. Okay. So I'm not sure. I thought this one was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether my experience of it was marred by the fact that I did actually end up listening to the audiobook.
Right.
And I don't think that the narration was bad at all, but I think I suffered a bit from zone in, zone out situation.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So it didn't grab me.
Right.
Because certain bits of it, I was like, oh, I am, like, this is all starting to piece together, and then I must have just zoned out again. Yeah. So I don't feel like I can give it a really, like, a fair review. I don't know, there's just sometimes when you're listening to an audiobook, actually no, it's physical books as well, it wasn't for me, I don't think.
Right. I think one of the things that I mean I read this at the beginning of the month also, so it's quite a while since I had it, but I think what I remember is there being so many twists and turns that I can absolutely understand if you were listening to it. If you zone out for a minute, yeah, everything's changed.
You come back to it like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm listening to another book at the moment, which we'll talk about in a future one, that I'm kind of having the same issue with. So I feel like I maybe need to stop listening to thriller-esque, mystery-type books that it actually require me to follow the thread. Otherwise, I'm going to miss something like mega important. But I think maybe I just didn't really fully get psyched for the, like, historical element of the timeline. I think that was the thing. Like, I did quite enjoy the modern day portion of it, but without really getting into the nature of the treasure hunt. I don't know. I think maybe that's what it was missing for me.
Right.
So yeah, the historical elements and the characters in that part of the story.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly warm to until much later on, when a lot of more twists and turns came about.
Yeah, that's the thing, is those puzzle pieces start to drop in and you start to build the picture of those characters.
Yeah.
So I did.
Maybe that's it. Took a while to just get into it for me.
I did feel like it was a lot busier than her previous book that I'd read. There was a lot more going on. There was a lot more characters. And I think I had to, like, really sit down and focus on it. This wasn't one that I could read on my lunch break.
No, it's not a passive read.
No, I almost had to feel like I was getting involved in the treasure hunt and sitting down and going, right, what is going on here? What's the link to that? Because there were, I guess one of the themes of the story itself was that within this treasure hunt, the author of the author within the book had hidden lots of little secrets and Easter eggs within his book. So then you almost have to get yourself into that, like, really focused mindset of going, ah, was that a clue? Where is that leading to? Is that a red herring? So I think if you're into stuff like that, it is really interesting. And there was a fair amount of twists and turns that I don't think it was very predictable. I hadn't got the end of it.
No.
There was definitely things that made me go, oh God, right, okay, that's where we're going.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't think it was predictable. And I think if I'd been in a slightly different mindset, I would have probably gotten into it a little bit. If I'd have had, like, time to just sit and physically read, which I just didn't have last month.
Yeah.
Then I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
But
what I did think was interesting, I've written down that it's, I think, maybe the first book I've read in the last few years that very obviously references the pandemic and lockdowns. and the characters' experiences in lockdowns. And I thought that was quite a nice little kind of scene setting for exactly where we were in the future sections of the book. So I quite enjoyed that. And I was racking my brains to think, have I read another book recently that's got those kind of obvious references? And I don't think that I have.
I think I've read a couple, but not many at all.
Yeah.
It just feels weird, doesn't it? I think in the future we're going to look back on it, because I'm sure there'll be plenty more books that end up referencing it.
Yeah.
Because what a weird period that we've lived through.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cool.
Okay. Well, one that is, I guess, another one that I can't really say very much about, but that I can wholeheartedly recommend with massive trigger warnings is... Okay. Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumfitt, which I picked up in Waterstones just because the title made me laugh. I was like, oh, okay, that's my kind of like dark humour title. And it genuinely is one of the most gripping and interesting, thought-provoking books that I've read in the last few years. So on the face of it, it's a kind of gothic horror haunted house story, but with incredibly dark themes and kind of conversation starters that are outside of the norm. So it's, I think it's billed as a trans horror on some sites. I've seen it as kind of that's the genre that it fits into, but the kind of crux of the story, without spoiling anything, is that there is these three friends who spend a night in this house, which we later find out is kind of possessed by this negative energy, shall we say. One of the friends, we find out very early on, so it's not really a spoiler, one of the friends doesn't make it out of the house, and the other two's lives are changed irreversibly by what they've experienced.
Okay.
So we kind of meet them in the beginning separately as they're separately processing what's happened on this night in the house. One of them is has become embroiled in this kind of gender critical feminist group, you know, like the JK Rowlings of the world. She's become embroiled in that. And one of the others is kind of struggling to reconcile her gender identity. So they seem worlds apart at the very beginning. And they realise that in order to kind of process what's gone on, they have to revisit what happened that night. So we get through the book, both their perspectives of what happened, and then also certain chapters are written from the point of view of the house itself and this energy that is within the house. All kind of culminating towards the end, where the author writes the last section where they're talking about actually what happened. The page is split down the middle and you read both perspectives at the same time, so you don't know who's telling the truth, who's... Yeah, Rhiannon's pulling her face. It sounds mad.
My eyeballs go all over.
But the whole way through, you're kind of like, who do I believe? Who's the victim? Okay. Who's not the victim? Who are they both? Are neither of them? And then you get this perspective of both of their stories at the same time. I can't explain it in any way other than, yes, that sounds mental, but it is so worth it. It definitely says a lot about the kind of world that we live in. The house brings out the worst in people, and the kind of thinking that is it something which lives within them, or has the house made them that person? There's themes of racism, fascism, transphobia, all of the worst parts of the, like, the internet that you see now, but within this book. It's great. It's incredibly thought-provoking, but very triggering, very graphic. I think you would not like it. There's like body horror and all sorts in it. So
yeah, I don't think I would like it, would I?
No, but if you've got a strong stomach,
it sounds very interesting.
Yeah,
I don't really. Okay, well, that sounds great for some other people.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to buddy read it with our friend Emma, who is just as into the weird and dark and horrible as I am.
Yeah.
And we both raved about it and were like, everyone has to read this book. But at the same time, it's a bit like you're kind of putting people in for a rough ride when you recommend it.
I mean, it sounds like something that would make like a really good TV show or like movie, definitely. Whatever. But at the same time, like, I think I'd probably be better off reading a book where I can censor myself rather than like actually seeing it on the screen. I don't know. Anyway, I'll consider it if I'm feeling like I've got a strong stomach at that time. Okay, so I guess we'll go on to my next one. Can sense the resignation in my voice.
I'm excited for this.
So, right. I'm sure a few people will have read my review that I posted the other day of this. This is Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder. And I had only seen good reviews of this. Like, people raving about it, saying, I read this in one sitting. It's amazing. It's changed my life. It spoke to me. It was fabulous. And that's great. Good for them. But yeah, I hated it. I just hated it. It was such a chore for me to get through it. I tried it before I went on my honeymoon. I was like, it's a short little book. I should be able to get this. And I got like 50 pages in. I was just like, no, I can't. I can't hack it. And I thought it was because I'd read a few books recently on motherhood as being like a central thing, and like that's fine. I'm a woman in my mid-30s, like a lot of books that come my way will probably have that as a central theme. I thought initially I put it down to that, but I'll try and say what it's about. So basically, it's a mother with a toddler, a two-year-old son. She was an artist, but she chose to leave work because she didn't earn as much as her husband. Her husband carries on living his life, seemingly, while she is at home struggling to raise a child and maintain her sense of self-worth, which I gather is probably a fairly common thing. I think a lot of mothers probably have that sort of juggling act.
Yeah.
Thought that it was a very interesting concept because she basically, and this again isn't really spoiling anything, she turns into a dog. And it's really weird. It was too weird for me. The main thing that I hated, though, was that I hated her. She's unnamed. She's just called the mother.
Right.
But she was so insufferable to me. I couldn't get on board with her. I didn't feel any sense of, like, oh, that must be really hard for you. I was just like, you're just an annoying woman at this stage. Like, everything I read, I was just, some of the writing in it, because I do want to say this, some of the writing in it and some of the paragraphs that I've like tabbed, just like amazing writing. It's disgusting. Like there is some like really gross stuff. Some animals don't make it. That is something to be aware of, because I was a bit like, ugh, gross, like just keep reading.
Yeah, that's the horror that I'm not on board with.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I really struggled with that. I wasn't expecting it. And so I think that's probably a good thing to just, yeah. But it says on the front of it, this is a quote from Carmen Maria Machado, which is, she says, feral, unholy, incredible. It was feral, definitely. it was incredible, but not in a good way for me personally. I I don't know. It's just, it wasn't for me. Like, it wasn't written for me. Right. I didn't feel any sort of affinity with her. It just seemed like she chose that life and she wasn't doing anything to help herself. She complains about other women and other mothers, and it's just, to me, it just read like one big complaint.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's just saying, like, I devoured it. It's terrifically alive, pitch perfect. Funny. It wasn't funny.
I don't understand. What did, like, she actually turn into a dog? Why did she turn into a dog? What is...
So, like... you have to... It is kind of explained as you go through.
Right, okay.
The end of it kind of pieces together, like, what's gone on. But also doesn't. So there's still a lot of kind of questions.
Right.
And it's incredibly weird. You'll love it, I'm sure. as long as you don't hate her,
yeah.
As long as you feel like you've got like some sort of connection with her, because I think that was what just switched me off straight away.
Yeah.
I just thought she was awful.
Yeah.
She's just an awful person that I didn't want to read about. But I strapped myself in and told myself I was going to. So I read it in 2 days because I was just like, I'm wasting my life. And it was a book that I put down and I was angry. I was angry that I'd read it.
Okay.
And like the more that I thought about it, the more angry I got. So I might have to throw it away.
Well, I'll donate it. Throw it my way because I will read it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll throw it your way. I think I need to get rid of it because when I look at it, it's making me angry. So.
Okay. Well, my next one, I feel like we could just like rewind the tape and just replay what you've just said. Because similarly, I read this next book in 2 days and struggled the whole way and hated myself for sticking with it. And I was so nervous to post my review for this because this is Verity by the queen of Bookstagram, Colleen Hoover. And
yeah.
I thought, this is it. I'm done for. Like, everyone's going to hate me. Because I absolutely hated this book. And I think, full disclosure, we did kind of have an idea that I might not like Colleen Hoover. That's not really my jam. But
no, I didn't have an idea. I knew that you wouldn't. I thought the one that you might find most palatable is this one, but obviously not.
Do you know...
But I hadn't read that extra chapter, and that sounded like absolute batshit crazy, so...
Yes. So I read the special collector's edition, just in case you wanted that in your life, which had a bonus chapter, which it didn't need, and in fact made it more annoying than had I stopped at the kind of end. And I can see why you would have thought this would be the one to get me if any was, because actually the concept... quite intriguing.
Yeah.
I just think she can't write a thriller. And
no, I don't think she can either.
I think she's obviously very good at writing that kind of cheesy soap opera romance, which is not my thing. And so because it was kind of that melted into a weird thriller story, I just was angry. And it was one of those where just my stubbornness made me keep going.
Mm, yeah.
And then when I got to the end, I was like, well, you've wasted your time there.
Yeah.
How stupid.
Yeah.
And I can remember what you'd said about it, that the thing you couldn't get on board with was Jeremy being a sexy name. And I fully agree. Jeremy is a stupid name. Lowen is a stupid name.
Yeah.
Crew is a stupid name.
Okay, well, if that's your problem with Colleen Hoover, don't read any of her other books. They're all stupid names. Like, she doesn't use normal people's names. I don't know what it is about her. She goes left field all the time. Lily is about as normal as it gets.
Well, was there a Miles in one, which I'm on board with the name Miles, but
yes, that's fine.
Everything else in this, I was like, I don't know where. It's like she just played Boggle to come up with the characters' names. And it's a thriller. So I can't really say much about the story, and you've talked about it already. Safe to say I'm not going to be picking up another Colleen Hoover book. I think the line I used in my review was, it is a no-ho from me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I like her writing, but like you say, I think I would always stick to her, the romance, which I think she does do well.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get on well with Layla. That's the paranormal one that she wrote. I read that first and was like, why do people like this?
Yeah.
But then having read It Ends With Us and Ugly Love, I really enjoyed those two.
Okay.
So, and then Verity I thought was fine.
Yeah. I can absolutely see that she does that cheesy romance soap opera thing very well, and it's not for me, but to each their own. If it is for someone else, that's fine. But yeah, I just was, I was bored and annoyed. And I think somebody on Instagram referred to Loan as a simpering twit, which I thought was amazing, because, that's what I got. I just thought, you're annoying and I don't like you.
And that's the problem. If you don't like a central character, then you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is all very me, because the next one is me as well. So I wanted to, for Spooky Season, to get on with some classic horror. So I read Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. I'd only read like excerpts of this in English classes when I was doing my A-levels, and I've never actually read it start to finish, and I'm incredibly pleased that I did. There's a reason it's a classic. I think she's actually an incredible writer. The story was built really nicely, like it fully crescendoed to this like great kind of meaty story. It's literally hundreds of years old, so if you've not read it, then I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil things. It's the classic story of Dr. Victor Frankenstein, who creates this creature, humanoid, who, because he's trying to make all of the finer details, he has to be a little bit bigger than a normal human. So it's this kind of 8-foot-tall creature who turns out to be not godlike imagination that he had, but actually quite grotesque. So the creature escapes, disappears off out into the mountains, and returns to get his revenge on Frankenstein a few years later. And the most interesting part of the story to me was when the creature comes back to tell what he's been up to, or it has been up to, in the last however many months, watching people trying to learn how to speak the language and how to be a human being. And not being accepted, people fearing the creature, and I just thought it was perfectly crafted. And if you've not read it, then I think it's a really good classic horror to get into, because it's not particularly gruesome or grotesque. Okay. I did wonder whether it was intentional to kind of mirror certain mental illnesses. There's definitely feelings that I got of schizophrenia, or almost as though the creature was a different part of Frankenstein's personality that he didn't necessarily accept. I thought that was really interesting to kind of view it from that perspective. And it was really quite quick to read, considering it's quite, how many pages? I've got a nice cloth-bound cover, but it's like 250 pages, but it read like 100 pages. It read like a short story. So that's my first little classic. I won't sit and bang on about it too much, because obviously people like it, so there's a reason it's a classic.
Yep.
And my next little one, I've gone like spiraling down into the depths of the Chiltern Classics collection and bought
Welcome to My World,
The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which is a classic that I've already got. And then had to buy this beautiful gold copy.
Yeah, I have seen that one and considered it as well.
It's beautiful. And honestly, actually, I listened to the audiobook of it because Jake Gyllenhaal reads it on Audible. Oh, so okay. I was like, this is a nice little journey to work.
Yeah.
Again, it's a classic. There's quite a lot of outdated language that I don't remember from the last time that I read it. I think I'd maybe...
Yeah, I've read it ages ago. I can't...
Yeah, and I don't know whether I'm just more aware of it now and it's a little bit more jarring. that
okay.
I didn't enjoy necessarily. But again, this is the classic story of like 1920s, jazz age, New York, summers of parties and affairs and deaths. I'm sure everybody knows it, but I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it. But yeah, it's been years since I picked it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had been eyeing up that copy of it as well. It's very pretty.
I mean, it's dinky as well. I don't think I remembered it.
Yeah.
That's less than 170.
Yeah, it's a super quick read. Yeah.
So yeah, but I would recommend the Jake Gyllenhaal audiobook on Audible.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a tiny bit. I really won't talk much about this. But this is one of the books that I actually managed to read in October. This is the one I actually read on holiday. I read this. And it was a good read for holiday. I think I would have maybe found it more annoying had I been in like my normal day-to-day life. Right. So this is The Spanish Love Deception by Elena Armas, and I read it on my Kindle, which I think helped, because I've seen this in I saw it in Tesco and I didn't pick it up because it was like quite a chunky book. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think I can be bothered investing my time in a chick lit book that's like that chunky. But actually I flew through it, and I think it was because it was on Kindle, so I could just like, but yeah, it's a classic like enemies to lovers trope romance, kind of holiday romance as well. So basically, Catalina is our protagonist, who was a bit annoying, I won't lie. and she needs a date to her sister's wedding in Spain. And she's basically lied to her family that she's got this boyfriend. And because her ex is going to be attending the wedding with a new fiancé or something along those lines.
Right.
I've taken this in, obviously, very deeply. something like that. Her Catalina's workmate, what's he called? Aaron? Is that right? I feel like that's a name of a man in a book like this.
Yeah, he's it is Aaron. His name now.
Yeah, he is called Aaron. Volunteers to go as her fake boyfriend.
Okay.
And she hates this guy. She would rather go with anyone else but this guy.
Okay.
And he apparently hates her, but obviously he doesn't. So, yeah, you can kind of guess the rest.
Yeah.
I've saved you like 400 pages there. honestly, I think it is like 400 and odd. It's quite a long book. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I think the sort of side characters made it for me. I really liked her family. I really liked Aaron. He seemed like far too good for her. She seemed like a bit of an idiot. Well, not a bad person, just a bit like clueless.
Right.
So yeah, if you like that kind of thing.
Nice, easy read.
You know? Yeah, I didn't have to think, which was great.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be thinking. So yeah, good little holiday read.
Okay. Nice.
You just hate it.
I don't know, because I do like an easy read. Do you know what I think I don't like is when I feel like authors write as though I'm an idiot. That's what I don't like. I think that's when I start to eye roll and be like, oh, I've paid you my money for this book and you're treating me like an idiot.
It's a problem. I think the problem with romance books is that generally they will follow a load of tropes, because that's what the customer wants from it. You want a lovely, happy ending, like, wrapped up in a bow.
Yeah.
Maybe with, like, a few, like, there's a little bit of peril along the way, but they're going to make it, it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's what the genre is. So I think if you want something that's not going to make your eyes roll, like, feel-good romance isn't going to be the route that you should go down. I don't know.
Yeah. I need to just learn this and just not even try it.
Yeah, just don't bother me. Yeah. It's not for you.
Well, what definitely is for me is my next two, I guess, which are both Japanese translated fiction.
I have actually read She and Her Cat as well. I've got it.
Perfect. Here. Okay, yep. See if we can remember it. I mean, both of these, again, yeah. I read right at the beginning of the month. So the first one I will very briefly talk about is Haruki Murakami's First Person Singular, which is his collection of short stories that was published last year or early this year. Full disclosure, I'm already a Murakami fan. I've loved him for as long as I can remember reading Japanese fiction. His writing is just like poetic and lyrical. Having said that, I think this is maybe one of my lesser favourites of his.
Okay.
Probably just given the format. So it's 8 short stories, which I think kind of jarred me out of his usual, like, big dramatic story. He writes kind of surreal first person stories usually, which I can really get my teeth into and get really immersed in. And I think the format of these short stories brought me out of that a little bit. I just started to get in and then it finished and I was like, right, okay, this doesn't really read like him. They were all very interesting. And I think the mystery around this one is that, firstly, are all of the short stories written from the same perspective? They're all first person narrated. Obviously, that's the clue, is first person singular is the title.
Right.
But you are never told whether they're narrated by the same person, all of them. And some of them read like they're a memoir. They might be written from his perspective, the author, but you're never quite sure and it never quite says. So you kind of have this feeling of, actually, I don't know who it is I'm reading about, which kind of stops you connecting with the character because you've got no context as to who they are, where they've come from, what their life looks like. That's what makes it not one that I'm kind of going to rant and rave about.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's weird. It's almost, I want to recommend it as like a gateway to his writing because as short little snippets, they're great. And they really give you an idea of his way of getting ideas across. Some of them are mad. There's talking monkeys and there's like weird things going on. And some of them are just like, it feels like you're talking to an old person sitting on their porch, talking about their first love. And it really gets you into his writing, but at the same time, I don't think it's the best example of his writing. So it's a weird one. But definitely not bad in any way, but just a bit of a...
Meh.
Because I wanted it to be like the thing that I usually love and will fly through and rave about, and it wasn't quite that.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then, yes, She and Her Cat, as you said, you read this one as well, so we'll see if we can remember this. This is Makoto Shinkai and Naruki Nagakawa, and it's translated. This was originally an anime film, like a short film.
Yeah, which I think you can tell. I think, quite a lot of these books, I likened, you know, when I read Lonely Castle in the Mirror, last year, and I absolutely loved it. That to me, like, read like watching a Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
So like these little stories, again, I can completely imagine as an anime.
Yeah.
He said the author is a hugely popular anime filmmaker of Your Name. Right. So this is his debut novel, and it's inspired by his highly praised anime and will be published in 14 territories around the world. So maybe it's not. Is it an anime already?
I think it's a little short film. Don't quote me on it. My children will probably absolutely berate me because they're both massive anime fans. But I'm sure that I read that it's based on a short film.
It's inspired by his highly praised 5-minute anime.
Right.
In which he highlights the gentle magic of the everyday alongside the importance of communication and connection.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think in that short film, I think it only focuses on the one interaction.
Right.
So just to explain, because we kind of dive straight into it, it's a very short collection of kind of little vignettes.
Yeah.
Told from the perspective of these cats and talking about their interactions with each other, but also their interactions with their human companions, how they found them, how they feel about them. And I thought it was so sweet and heartwarming. And I really enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
I'm not a cat person. And there was an element of me thinking, if I was a cat person, would I love this even more? Because I kind of don't know whether there's things in it which are like little secret, I don't know, like cat traits that cat people know about.
I know what you mean. I mean, there's a good dog in it as well, which I think helped.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked seeing the world through their eyes. I love it when animals are the narrators.
Yeah.
It does, yeah, it really adds to it. Yeah, I think it's like the dog in Lessons in Chemistry. Like, when you just get those, like, little sort of... just a different way of looking at what the hell are they doing? Like, what are those humans doing?
Yeah.
Why are they being so thick a lot of the time?
Yeah, and I think it's that thing, like you say, when you look at your dog and you know that there's not a bad bone in the dog's body. It's not doing anything because of any other motivation other than either food or love. That's the only things it's motivated by. So there's a real, like, innocence and sweetness to the way that they view everything that they come across that just makes you happy when you read it. It's such a little treat of a book. And it's that kind of commentary on the things that we just view as like the normal, mundane, everyday life. And seeing it from the perspective of this animal that's like, I don't know why you're doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'm a cat.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. I really like those kind of little Japanese translated ones.
Yeah.
Read a few now and they're always good. So.
Yeah. I think there's something magic as well about the... Again, I'm not a cat person, so I'm sure I'll be told that this is entirely wrong, but they disappear. I know my sister has cats, and they go out. And how do you know what your cat is doing when it goes out and it's out for 5 hours? And the idea that they've got this little secret, like, friendship group where they're chatting to each other.
They've got a life going on, yeah.
I loved that. And I don't think, as much as I love dogs, you wouldn't get that from a dog story because they don't have the life outside of humans. That's...
Yeah.
I just thought it was really special, and it's great. Great little book.
Good. Well, I'm going to bring up the rear of the podcast today with a dog-themed book.
Yeah, these are my tenuous segues, you see.
Yeah, very tenuous segues. I guess that one's not very tenuous at all. So my last book is Dog Days by Erica Waller, and I've had this on my radar for ages, and I will admit that I've been a little bit nervous to read it because I know that she follows the author follows us on Instagram and interacts with us all the time, so it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, I really want to read that book because it sounds like it could be my cup of tea, but what if I think it's awful?
Yeah.
But I'm happy to report I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really excellent book. It was really well written. It wasn't really what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
So I do kind of want to like alert people a little bit more to like what it is. So it does have dogs in it.
Okay.
I will say that. But it's far more about the lives of three different humans who live in and around Brighton. They don't all have dogs, but they all have dogs in their lives.
Right.
And we basically go between, like, back and forth between those three, like following their journey. So I can't remember who we're introduced to first, but first one I'm going to remember is we have a belligerent old man who's just lost his wife, and his wife has bought him a tiny little sausage dog puppy called Poppy. And he hates it. that element of the story, I mean, I was always going to get involved with because I love a grumpy old man. He was a real, like, he was horrible.
Okay.
But he goes on a journey, so I won't say much about him, but he goes on a journey, and the people that interact with him are really fabulous. There's some really, really great interactions, and I very much enjoyed reading his story.
Right.
He was great. And then there was a woman called, what was she called? Lizzie, who's living in a refuge with her son.
Right.
Her story is a very interesting one. I can't really say anything about it because I really don't want to spoil anything, but her story was one that I didn't really see coming at all. The dog involved in her portion of the story belongs to the owner of the refuge, and she kind of offers a sense of calm in what is not a very stable portion of the book.
Okay.
And then the final one is a therapist named Dan, is it? Yes, Dan. So he's got OCD, but he has trained as a therapist, and he is looking to meet someone, and we have kind of a love story going on. And he has a dog who's very, like, again, a very calming influence. I think in general, the dogs in this are used as, almost like a grounding for each of the people.
Right.
Obviously, Poppy the puppy, not so much at the beginning, but
yeah,
there's a journey there with her as well.
Okay.
I think there's definitely trigger warnings in this. There's some like pretty hefty topics covered, which I wasn't really expecting. I was kind of going into it. I haven't really read the blurb. I was just like, dog days, great. Sounds really fun. And it's got like quite pretty cover with like pastel colors on it and stuff. I was like, oh, it's gonna be a lovely little read about dogs. And it wasn't really that. It was great.
Right.
So I was surprised, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be good, and it was, but for kind of different reasons to what I thought.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it was really well written, and I'd like to read more from her.
Nice.
But I could have taken more dogs.
Okay. Yeah, I always love a dog story.
Absolutely. But yeah, there you go. Well, job done.
That rounds us up for October.
Yes.
We are hopefully going to get together to record our November featured read in the next few days or weeks. We are going to do Mad Honey by Jodi Picoult and Jennifer Finney Boylan. I haven't started it yet, but it's next to my bed. So that's my plan for this evening, is to get on that.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet either. I'm reading Conversations on Love at the moment. I thought I should read that as like a cleansing thing after the horror that was Night Bitch. So I'm reading that just to like make myself feel a bit happier.
Yeah.
Less angry. And then I'm going to get on Mad Honey.
Nice.
Yes, yeah, so hopefully we can, yeah, smash that out before I go to Germany and just leave again. Mm. Always leaving.
But we are going to be back on schedule with recording and releasing and all of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got any other... Oh, no, I do have news. Is that the Little Free Library is open.
Oh, yeah.
The Little Free Library is open and it's... I was going to say it's working. It is working in that people are bringing in books and swapping books, but it's not working in the sense that I took 3 books out of it yesterday to read, so it's not helping my pile of books in the slightest. but they will go back in it once I've read them. Okay. So
fair enough. That's okay then.
Yeah, there was like almost tears when I parted with 12 books this week, and it was like a, I need to put something in the library, but what do I put in the library? Like a... I think I started with 20 and kept putting them back on the shelves. So, but we got there in the end and it's open. And I would love to see people mooching and swapping books and maybe saying hello if you're there. So if you're in York, find us.
Yeah, I'll have to come and visit as well.
Yeah, photo opportunities.
At some point. Yeah, for sure. just, yeah, in a bit.
Next year.
Find time. Yeah, probably. God, right, okay then, cool. We'll speak at you later. It's been fabulous getting back to it. Hopefully this has actually recorded.
Fingers crossed. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Guys,
bye. Hi there. Thank you so much for listening to Two Girls, One Book podcast. If you like what you heard, we would love for you to like, follow, rate, subscribe. In fact, just all that good stuff, please, would be fantastic. You can also find us on Instagram at Two Girls, One Book Pod. So come and follow us over there as well. Happy reading and join us next time.